for the time to be here tonight. We're thankful for the songs, testimonies. Thank you for blessings that you are bestowing upon even some of our church family members here. I pray, Lord, even for this little one that is already on the way. We pray, Lord, that you would allow and cause from now till the day of this little one's birth, every moment of the day, those cells and tissue and muscles and bones that are going to be formed and formulated, they would be just right according to your will. We pray that as a church family, we might not lose sight of we are who we are because of your grace and your goodness to us. I pray that we would learn of you this evening. You would encourage us from the truth in your word. We are not really sharing anything new. We are being reminded of some precious truths that sometimes it's just good that we remember things. And I pray tonight might be such a case. To your glory, we ask this in your name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I know why it was on there, Andrew. Sorry about that. Chalk it up to, it's been so long since I've been in the pulpit on Sunday night, huh? Forgot to turn my mic on. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In this chapter, we find Moses really reminding God's people of God's goodness to them. Do any of you ever wonder whether God is good to you? Moses, in this particular passage, is bringing to his people some truths that was to be an encouragement to them that I trust, as we look at it, can be an encouragement to us. Who hasn't wondered sometimes at God's purposes in our circumstances? The illness which just doesn't go away. Problems which can't be resolved. Problems with the job. Disappointments, struggles, etc. We've prayed about them, but things just don't get better. Think of Job in the Old Testament. What a puzzle the events were to him as he suffered so much. And you know, if you read the book of Job, Job never really did get an answer, did he, as to why those things had happened. He was challenged to consider the greatness of God and the wisdom of God and the ways of God in creation and all of that. We have no record that God ever pulled Job aside and said, Job, I'm proud of you. I want to just fill you in on what was going on. Way back then, you know, Satan came into heaven. And this contest, we never find anything in Scripture that Job was ever given what we have in the book. We know why Job went through what he did. Wouldn't it be great if we had the book and the answers in it when we find ourselves in the midst of some real difficulties in life? And in this chapter, Moses talks about some of the things that they had gone through, and he reveals a wonderful plan of God in those message title here, Andrew. Are you writing it down for Joel? Design difficulties. Designed difficulties. That sounds like God has a reason for bringing those difficulties into one's life, doesn't it? That's exactly what I mean by that title. And let's see, first of all, we want to just make this really simple this evening, keep it in understandable. Our outline, it's not going to be too rocket scientist type. Point one. He had them look back at their past experiences. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Looking back at their past experiences. Notice verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He challenged them to stop and think. All the different things they had come up against. And he said, I want you to remember how God led us. He used the word led in the wilderness. That suggests to us that they were never on their own to stumble around. They were led in their wilderness experience. Years ago, I used to even refer to it myself, quit calling it that myself, because the day came when I realized it wasn't a wilderness wandering around. They were led around. They were led by that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We need to remember in the circumstances and the situations that come our way. We are not alone. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm not an Israelite. No, I'm not an Israelite either, but I have the promise in the New Testament through the person of the Holy Spirit, the Lord said, I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know that we are never alone in any situation or circumstance we come up against as a believer in Christ? They did not have the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit like we have, but they had the ever-present assurance of the fact that the Lord was with them. Illustrated there in all those experiences. You say, but you look on a map, and they went back and forth and up and down on the map, and they were just going everywhere, yes? But they were led by the Lord. We are led. We are not left alone. And he said he did that. He said, the Lord led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. There was a reason for it, design difficulty. To do what? First of all, to humble thee. God resists the proud, but gives grace to whom? To the humble. To humble. And we find here, this word means to humble by oppression, difficulties, hard times. And it is also the same word which sometimes in the Old Testament is translated affliction. He led them in the wilderness to, sometimes it's used, afflict them, to humble them. God's will was to bring them down by means of hard times. Was God angry at them? Was God through with them? God was chastening them in the wilderness for what? Do you know why that trip, which could have been accomplished so quickly, lasted 40 years? Was it God's intention that it take them 40 years? We know the answer to that, don't we? God had led them up to the point that Kadesh Barnea, spies were sent into the land to look it over, and God had brought Moses to that point to tell them, it's time that we go in. And the people said, wait a minute, we need to send some men over there and let them take a look and see what we're getting into. We have no idea what it's like over there. And so God listened and God granted. There was one man from each of the 12 tribes. 12 spies went, and we know they were gone for 40 days, came back, and only two of the men gave a good report. Joshua and Caleb. 10 of them said, you know what? It's a great land, but this is a bad deal. This is a bad deal. Those people over there, they're like giants, and they have cities that have huge walls. There is no way in the world that we're going to be able to take them. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes, and you know, this is a mistake. And the people began to even murmur and complain against Moses. And that night they complained and even spoke of, get this, going back to Egypt. What had they left behind in Egypt? They'd had over 400 years of bondage, slavery. But in their unbelief, they said, anything is better than this. God told Moses, I want you to announce to the people that because they have chosen to disbelieve me, they have chosen not to trust me, I am ready to take them into the promised land right now and give it to them. But the majority of the people said, no, we will not, we cannot go. Moses, I want you to tell them that because of their unbelief, they've missed their door of opportunity. And anyone who is 20 years of age and older, old enough to be held accountable and responsible, they will never step foot in the promised land, but their unbelief is going to cause the whole nation to just stay out here in the wilderness until that 20 years of age and older generation, every one of them croaks out here in the wilderness. That's what those 40 years were about. It was just waiting for the unbelieving group of people to die off. And God brought that to them. The 40 years of the wilderness experience, it was because of their unbelief. And he said, he humbled you. He did this to humble you, to show you were wrong, and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you were going to keep his commandments or not, to prove, to test, to see if those younger ones who were growing up to maturity during those years out there in the wilderness, are they going to make the same decisions, the same choices? Are they going to respond to the Lord the same way as their unbelieving forefathers did? Or are they going to be different? He said he led these 40 years to humble you and to test you, to learn to show what was in your heart, whether or not you were going to obey him. Verse 3, he humbled you and he allowed you to hunger. And he fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither your fathers did know, that he might make you know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We find that God provided for them. He fed them. We find that the hard times were to teach them God's ways. We find that not only did they learn how faithful God was to them in providing food for them, we see in verse 4, your raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. They never needed a new pair of shoes in 40 years. And in verse 15, we see these words, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. We find here that God proved himself trustworthy in the midst of their uncomfortable circumstances. And the truth that God wanted them to learn is that they can trust him and that they need his word. The importance of God's word to their life. Have we learned that? He did all of that so that you might learn that man needs more than just bread to live. He needs the word of God. He needs to obey what God has said. He needs to live by what God has spoken in his word. They had not done that, the generation of old. And he said, I took you through the wilderness to try to teach you how important it is to listen to my words, to know my words, to trust my words, to make my words your priorities. Your forefathers did not do that. And so we find this was, first of all, he said, look back at these past experiences, but understand God's design, secondly, to impress upon them how important God's word was and God's ways were to their lives. They were also to understand that God did what he did because of his loving concern for them. Notice verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. He did what he did to them to let them know how much he loved them. What a strange way of showing love through these difficulties. Why were the difficulties there? Because of their unbelief. They were being chastened. God must have been mad at them. No. Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us that a father chastens whom? A son whom he what? He loves. This was why God was doing that with them. These were his people. He had chosen them. He had selected Abraham to be the father of this people. He had invested in them and they had strayed from him. They weren't trusting what he said. They didn't believe what he said. We can't take this land. We've got to go back. And God put them through these experiences to understand, believe God's word, trust his word. Look how he showed his love. This chastening was evidence of his love. Just like a father, a man chastens his son, the Lord chastened you, not because he hated you, but because he loved you. May we remember those things as we go through some uncomfortable situations. Not only were they to understand the importance of daily depending upon God to provide for them, daily realizing the importance of believing and trusting his word. Not only were they to understand how important it was to realize in this that this was really because God has a loving plan for us, he was doing this for us, but actually it's all been for their good in the end. Notice verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God did that so that he could be gracious in the end, so that he could fulfill those promises to them in the end that he had made. And Moses said, I want you to understand that's why God did this. Those difficult circumstances that we went through, they were for our good. They were evidence of God's love. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. That same Psalm 119 in verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. When's the last time you told the Lord that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes or the truths of your word. Psalm 119:75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That's what we need to tell ourselves. And they were also, not only were they to remember how God had worked with them in the past and to understand why he did that, but we also see that in this same context, Moses delivered that he said, you need thirdly to understand there is a very real danger that is always present whenever things are good. Notice in verse 7, the Lord thy God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, waters, fountains, depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Look at the abundance of crops in verse 8, verse 9, a land wherein you're going to eat bread without scarceness. God is taking you into, they hadn't gotten there yet, but now Moses is saying, remember the past. And what God wanted to teach us, remember why he did that, because there is a very present danger. And that is in verses 7 through verse 18. Just to cut to the chase and shorten the time, what the temptation that good times bring and abundance brings is to do what? Begin to think less on God. You ever notice that? the better the times are and the more we have and the easier things are and the better things are going, so many times we don't think much on God in those times. And Moses said, don't let that happen. That's what verses 7 through 18, that is the very real danger that the prosperity of the future was going to present to them. You say, well, that wouldn't happen to me, Pastor. I'm afraid it does. And I think we all know I'm right. We think less of God when things are going good. We pray less to God when things are going good. When our backs are against the wall, we pray. When our bodies are racked with pain, we pray. When we are in a mess, we pray. Would to God that we would not forget God when things are going so good. And that was what he warned them of here in verses 7 through 18. I trust this will be an encouragement to you. Design difficulties. God has a reason for them. They're going to be for my good. I can trust God in this. Yes. By faith. Remember who He is. Remember how faithful He has been. And beware of forgetting Him when things are going so well. Let's close and stand in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for this time tonight to review a time in Israel's past. And we think of how you prompted Moses to gather the nation together and to remind them of how trustworthy you are. And to remind them that your ways are not always our ways, but you always have a design. You never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to depend upon you more. It's easy to depend upon you when we're in trouble and we have needs. May we have such a heart that when things are going good, we are just as dependent upon you, just as conscious of you, just as obedient to you. We ask this for your glory in your name. Amen.